So I just wanted to welcome you all back, and I'm hearing good things about your experience this week. Most of you have had a good time. It was really good timing to have a scripture in there about be anxious for nothing. You know, the next day the Capitol gets attacked, but hey, you know. So Brett and I were kind of reviewing some things, and you know, the bottom line is this mom time class, you know, we are addressing you who have just had children all the way up to grown children. And your role as a parent has never been a more needed role. And what I've seen in the past week is a comparison to this summer. And I think, man, there's a lot of good-hearted people who had really good intentions, but then there's just a few that are just real bummers for everybody else. And it's kind of like the, you know, bummer kid in the classroom, right? And so I said to Brett, you know, it kind of seems to me like actually there's just, this represents a huge segment of the population that just really didn't spank their children when their kids were growing up. And he said, you know, that's right. That's bottom line. That's the right thing. Because boundaries, you know, and it's just, it's tough because I know people who went down this summer to stand up for their friends who have dark color, right? And then I know people who are black who are like, this is nonsense. And then I know people who go to Athey who are completely liberal. And then, and I love these people. And then I know people who are completely conservative, and I line up with those values. I'll just be out there with that much more. But there is disillusionment no matter where you go, because there is an end to all of these things when we're looking to man to satisfy. And that's what I see in our society. I see a super frustrated group over here. I see a really, a good friends that I know that went to Washington, D.C. with no intention except to just be supportive and be patriotic and, you know, love the USA and the things that we stand for and the Pledge of Allegiance and seeing God Bless America, things that we didn't see this summer, frankly, and then things turned sour. And it's just a bummer for those people who came with perfect intentions that, you know, the rotten apple spoils it for everybody else. And to me, I think, well, thank you, Jesus, that we're meeting here today, because going through last week and just exploring our origin of being created beings and that God is a God of order and that he has plans for us. He has plans for each one of us, and he has a permissive will and he has a perfect will. And as we'll see next week when we study the fall, what happens when we go with God's permissive will is it's a second best scenario and it causes pain. And we saw that this week. We really did. We don't know exactly what happened, but I know for the people who were there with great intentions, they feel very violated. They feel extremely used and violated. And that's a bummer, you know? So I think as a body of believers now, what we can do is come together and encourage one another and say, okay, time out. Let's examine what Jesus says. Let's examine what leaders in the Word of God have had to go through also when it looks like doubt and defeat is all that we have in front of us. And some people feel that beaten down by this. Other people in this room might be, huh? Who's president? What? I don't care. You know, because you're just trying to get the next diaper changed. And I get that. And then especially Brett, you know, saying, cut your screen time in half, you know. And I was so glad that he had people that have been tagging him saying, I can't do it. It's the craziest week ever. I can't do it. And then there's other, thank you little angels showing the book, saying, hashtag, you know, mom time, Athey Creek and Athey Women and Deb Metter. And I'm cutting down my screen time, you know. And so that's sweet. You know, it's good. That's good. So it's just, it's fun. I mean, we're going to take God for who he says he is. He's faithful and he promises to never, ever leave us or forsake us. That's the takeaway. Even in the midst of the things that are troubling out there, you know, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And that's the thing that we can teach our kids. You know, if I were to sit down with, if my children were 4 or 6 or 8 or 10 or 12, whatever, you know, go with odd numbers. 3, 5, you know. If you were to sit down and just review the past 25 years of, which you wouldn't do this because they will be like, what? I don't care what you're talking about. Where's the M&M, you know? But bottom line is, every single night on the news, you're getting information that's helping prove your point about why it's good to live a biblical life. Because every single night we're seeing brokenness. So I'm just going to ask you to open up to Psalm 8, and I'll read that right now. Just in thinking about what God has done for us and then our attitude of praise, just thanking God for who he is and what he's done. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God's name is majestic in Washington, D.C. His name is majestic in Iran. His name is majestic in South Africa. Wherever there's conflict, his name is majestic in China. His name is majestic in Russia. His name is majestic in all the earth. So we take that verbatim and we call that truth. And that is what we rest upon. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the fields, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When you look at verse 3, it talks about from the lips of children come that praise. He's ordained praise to come out of children. And the reason why, that word praise actually equals strength. So you think about this, it's the reason is because it helps avenge the enemy. It helps defeat the foe. Have you ever noticed that children are just so innocent? They say it like it is. They say it what it is. When they understand that Jesus loves them, their world is changed. The sooner, young moms, that you can get the gospel to your kids and let them know about the love of God and how they are forgiven, which we will talk about that from time to time in our sessions, just during discipline time and showing them what sin looks like and then showing them that there is a way that seems right unto man, Proverbs says, but the end thereof is death. And mommy's not going to kill you right now, even though she might feel like it, but we are going to have a consequence, you know? Teaching your kids that all the way that you go, looking for that opportunity, that does two things. It solidifies your child's faith in God. It also helps you in your walk as you are continually meditating on the good news that Christ has given you in the gospel. The Bible says it's the gospel of peace. Now, your homes might not feel like peace all the time, but it is the gospel of peace. And so that's your end goal, you know? And so I suggest don't pay attention to all the headlines right now. They are not going to give you the gospel of peace. There's no one saying, hey, guess what? So-and-so broke into the Capitol, stole somebody's laptop. Oh, and Jesus loves you, so make sure and pray tonight. No one's doing that. Okay, so don't even go there and look for that. If you want to be active, be active. If you want to be involved, do it. Register, vote, all that stuff. But your job, number one, is within your home. And I've said this in the past. You might not be able to legislate and change the whole entire world, but you can change your world. You can change your footprint around you with your people. And that's your number one job, is to reflect God and do that. So those two things are really huge because it will help you so much to not live hope and to not be without hope as you parent. And then also just that continual filling by the Holy Spirit within you as you're saying, Lord, you're talking this way. Lord, I want this child to learn about the good news. But clearly this child, it's a black and white kind of picture and they chose black over white and they chose white over black or whatever. They chose black over white. They chose not what I asked them, you know. So they made a decision to put their big toe over that line. And so now I have to back that up with a consequence. And you fill that in depending on the age group of what it is. And when you're in your small groups, you can discuss that. Our leaders are glad to talk to you about that. But being consistent in that will help you. It will help you in your walk. It will help you to just kind of do this with the crazy news. There's always going to be crazy news. You know, the New Testament says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Is it any wonder that broadcasting is a little messed up? You know, is it any wonder that the trick that Eve fell for was something that was visual? You know, we fall for it all the time. If it looks good, if we think we want more, if it's tantalizing. And these are all things we'll be discussing as the weeks come out. But you as moms get to break these things down and really break those burdens that are in your own life. God will help you with that as you release those things to him. He also will give you the wherewithal to critically think with your kids and help them break down. This is good and evil, and it's okay to call it good and evil. To actually critically think with your kids. It takes emotion out of the situation. It'll give you order. And again, just reflecting on this past week, God is a God of order, and it is okay for you to have order in your home if that's what you feel God's really putting on your heart. So now what I would like to just point out, though, is getting back to verse 3. When it talks about the children giving praise, it gives me pause. Whenever I see scriptures that talk about children, I immediately think, well, if I was the enemy of my soul, you know, if I was Satan, who would I try to get after? I would try to get after the young ones. That's who I would actually try to attack. Who would I also try to attack and undermine in doing that? You all. okay? Do not be threatened by the enemy of your soul. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. And we'll also visit that this week in the notebook. Your kids are a target. They will always be a target. You are a target. If you're in this room claiming the name of Jesus, we're targets. And so that's fine. Just own it. Just say, hey, I am a target. So what are the things we want to do? Okay, I want you to go ahead and let's, if you have your notebooks, if you didn't bring them, that's fine. But I just want to help you guys in tying in what we learned about last week with rest and our faith and making sure that we're in the Word and that believing that we're actually exercising our faith and saying, Lord, I'm going to believe you on this. I'm going to trust you in this. So when you mosey on over to week two, and we see the opening scripture is Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. No, 22 through 26. Sorry, drawing my glasses. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So then I'm just going to point out, highlight a couple things. We're going to go forward to day five. So remember last week I said, hey, on day five, usually there's a little bit more to do. So it's the same with this week. There's just a section that I kind of want you guys to star and just chew on that all week. So it's this part right here. Read John 10:9 and John 10:11, okay? So that's what you're supposed to do on your own. I'm going to save that. I'm not even going to do it. I'm just going to read this part, okay? So that you can, we're going to talk about this in a minute. Okay, so when you read John 10, verse 9 and verse 11, oh, now I have to. Sorry, this is what happens when I'm doing impromptu, whatever. Okay, so we're going to go over to John chapter 10. It's really going to work out good if I read it. It's like one of my favorite things, and I really think it'll help equip you guys as moms. Really, any age, you guys, any age, feeling threatened by the devil is not a joke. So this, I just love this so much. Okay, John 10, verse 9 says, here we go, get my glasses, guys. Sorry. Okay, 10. I am the gate. Whosoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Okay, so cool. So I call this bookending, okay? You know how you have a bookend and it holds up, you know, things that are like, okay, we got a lot of books and they're topsy-turvy. So you just bookend it. So I love John 10:9 because it says he's the door, okay? What is a door used for? It's like, it's the place you leave if you need to escape, or it's the place you run into for safety, right? Jesus is our door. And then 10:11 says he's also our good shepherd, and he is at the gate there to protect the sheep. I don't know how many of you heard Pastor Jason refer, and he's got that section of scripture for Christmas Eve. But, you know, the shepherd will stand there and wait, and the sheep will run through his legs. Like, he's not going to let anything that's not supposed to go into that area of pasture except his sheep. So that's how protected we are. So once you get that in your mind, then John 10:10 is not so overwhelming. It's actually not a surprise that the devil would want to rob and kill and destroy. That's what someone wants to do that is a carnivore, right? You have to kill something. It costs, there's a price in that. So the commentary that I write on there is, we do not have to be surprised with the truth that there is one who would like to steal, kill, and destroy any good in our lives. We do not have to fixate on that. What we can be freed up and strengthened by is the knowledge that on either side of the scripture are two attributes of Jesus. He is our door to safety from that thief, and he is our good shepherd who will protect us. I prefer to view this portion of scripture as bookends. The next time you become weary from potential theft or a feeling of being robbed, bookend it. And remember that safety is only a prayer away. I think that should be, like, we should have that. We need to have these scriptures up, right? And just be walking in that, because every single day, if we allow it, there will be theft in our mind. There will be theft in our heart, in our soul. You know, someone passes away that we love and we'll feel like we've robbed of that person. You know, maybe someone gets sick and we're feeling robbed. You know, maybe we get sick and we're feeling robbed. You know, there's all these things mentally, let alone the societal stuff, right? But no, don't focus on that stuff. Focus on the fact that we have a door. He's the door of hope. and he's our good shepherd. And forget about all the other stuff, because that's just life, right? Like, we are in this plight until heaven, and we serve a good, good God. So now, all that to say, St. Debbie, where's this going to? Where's this going? Okay, turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, I'm just going to read a little bit and just maybe do a little bit of review with you guys at the beginning, right before the end of the year. So it was still 2020. I just journaled a little bit and was in this section of scripture. And it was just so sweet to me how the Lord took care of King David, who had on his desire to do something, but it wasn't lined up with what God wanted for him. And you know, when that kind of stuff happens, you can just feel like, wow, I'm such a loser. You know, I really wanted to do this thing for God. I wanted to attempt this awesome thing, and I'm not able to do it, you know. But the Lord is tender, and he is kind. And so he really shows himself in the word here, and I just love it. I think the tenderness of God is so sweet. So that's why I wanted to share it with you. So in, just go with verse 4. That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with the tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father," this is Solomon, "and he will be my son. When Solomon does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." So what does God do there? He says, David, there's certain rules, you know, like we can't have you be a murderer and then build my house, because that's not how I function. I have a plan and I have order, and I had to use you for a different purpose. I had to use you to do mighty, mighty things to build my kingdom, and I am going to carry my line through you, but it's not going to be in the way you thought. You're not going to be able to do this last thing. And you know, I think of that personally, and I think, wow, how many leaders in our country can't calm down from a loss? Right? Can't say, oh no, this is just like not good. Or how many people are just like really raring to go and they really want to do things that are amazing in the name of God? How many times in history have we seen total wars break out, holy wars? So many times, you know? And that doesn't mean we won't continue to have that. We might, you know? History is history and future is the future, and we're a part of it, right? It's just the way civilizations work. They come and they go. You look at the Roman Empire and you look how that rose and fall, and you know, we're following right along in that. And it's fine. I mean, in the huge timeline of things, it's totally fine. The reason why I share this with you though is to be encouraged in a discouraging time, that even though we might not see why things are happening the way they are, God always, always, always does. And I love King David's response. What he says is he realizes where he's actually at with the Lord. It says, King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if there were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. It's just a sweet response to what God did in David's life, and I think it's a really good model for us. At the end of that journaling time, I was just reminded of Isaiah 9:6, where it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." That literally translates to be a wonder of a counselor and our hero, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We're searching for peace continually, and we're not finding it, and it's frustrating, I know. But that doesn't mean that we can't count on God, because we truly can. At the end, I wrote, "Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, trustworthy, that you will carry out your plans. You will take care of us. You have blessed us greatly. Enlarge us, increase our joy, shatter our enemies, establish us, uphold us. Amen." That's my prayer for 2021, that God would just uphold us and have that mindset of shattering our enemies, really bookending that whole threat of, oh no, we're going to be robbed and killed, destroyed. Ah, no, 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 no. He is our door and he is our good shepherd. Period. End of story. What happens in the middle? Let God fight that battle. You teach your kids how to be brave and how to face their battles in the name of Jesus. That is your big role. And if you're a grandma here, if you're an auntie that's here, if you have not had children, moms can use your help to come alongside you and say, you keep on going. You keep on going. You're going to follow Jesus. This is the way you do it. And the Lord will totally help you, which is really exciting. Okay, so now what I wanted to do is have you guys go over to, just gonna get myself organized here. I would really like us to just go back a little bit to Job 38. If you guys wanna just go ahead and turn over there. And I'm just gonna, if you guys can't get there, I'm just gonna read it, and so don't sweat it. But this is when God answers Job, and I love it when God talks. I just love it because it's like, this is God, this is who he is, and this is him. You know, sometimes we can make it up in our own mind, like, gee, does God sound like this, or does he defend himself, or does he say things, this and that? But when you actually know that this is what the Lord said, it's so fun. I just love it. So, you know, the story of Job, he's getting everything ripped away from his life. And, you know, last week we talked about how, oh, I hate my life, you know, in Job 10, and we don't want to have that mindset. Well, God comes in and reminds him. He says, "Who is this that darkens my counsel?" That convicts me. Do we darken God's counsel? Do we darken God's counsel to our children? What are we reflecting? Are we reflecting the light of Christ, or are we reflecting our own human nature? So God says, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther,' here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What is the way to the abode of the light, and where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their wicked, to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no man lives, a desert with no one in it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass, Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen? Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with the flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, "Here we are"? Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in a thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander about for lack of food? It goes on, and it's awesome because it talks about God's power. I think it's cool that it's pouring down rain right now while we just went over all of that. It's pretty, thank you, Jesus. Yay. Let's just listen. I feel like it's God giving us a yes. The Lord's good. You know, he is the authority in our life. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. And you can count on that with your kids. I think just going through this scripture, reading this to your kids, that's awesome. Have them draw pictures about that if they're younger. Have them picture what it's like to have lightning. There's all these, you know, Avenger movies and all that. That's all fine and good, but this is the source of all that is awesome about God is his word, you know, and you have this incredible opportunity to be able to share that. So I just hope that you guys feel blessed as we consider these couple things, you know, as leaders in our community. A lot of you are in the workplace right now, really kind of going through it because you're taking a stand and you're saying, I'm going to stand for Jesus when a whole bunch of people are telling you that you shouldn't, you know. And there's a whole lot of people that are telling you you should think a certain way. And then because you don't, they want you to conform or get out, you know. And so I understand that your families might feel stressed and that you guys might feel like, oh man, this is a bummer. But again, let's bookend that because the actual truth is we're here right now. We are actually here. We had a nice cupcake. We had some coffee. It's actually good. We're actually great. And when you come home tonight, you can be like, it was great. You know, we had fun. We have a good report to the family, you know, just like good. So just try to not let the enemy have any territory at all. Not one scrap of your joy should be taken by the enemy. That's what I encourage you to do today and tonight. And just as you're thinking about, you know, King David and how, you know, he didn't get what he wanted, but God had another plan that is serving for all eternity. And the reality in all of that is that it's just not about us. You know, I definitely have wanted things to be different in my life than how they actually turned out. But I am not ungrateful for the way that they have turned out. You know, I was talking to a friend this morning who he's one of 10 children. They're from Russia. And they walked a long time to get out of their country. They waited a long time. And this was, you know, 30 years ago now. Their father was persecuted for being a pastor. And he didn't do what the government wanted. They wanted to take his money. And he said, no, this is the church's money. And they basically sent him to Siberia. And it's all the terrible stories you could think of. Labor camp and all that. So they finally got their chance to get out. And, you know, that family went through a lot because of Jesus. And they are here in the United States. They have family get-togethers just for, not even family reunions, but just for fun. And there's 70 people in their home. You know, like, pow, you know, like God has expanded them. They love the Lord. They're fervent for Christ. And they see what's going on in our country right now. And they do, hey, I'm going to give you warnings. This is what it looks like. So we don't want to take it lightly, all right? But here's the exciting part. I said to him this morning, Serge, these are interesting times, aren't they? And he said, yes, they are. And I said, you know, everything that I've heard, I know you have the actual live experience, but everything I've heard from anyone who's immigrated from a communist country or somewhere that was very totalitarian, they come to the United States and they say, hey, here's the thing. When it's tough on the church grows. And I said, sir, he goes, that's right. That's right. And I said, so Serge, maybe now in the United States, it's our time to grow. Because the church will not stop, you guys. God will grow his church. But what does it take to grow? Here's the big bummer if you want to have muscle, right? Oh, you have to break down the muscle. Bummer. There's some tearing. You know, when you lift, it's tearing down these little muscle fibers, and then there's rest, and then it builds back stronger. And so if this is our season to grow in that way, then let's embrace that. And you can happily tell your kids, you guys, we're growing stronger. This is good. We are good. We are good. Wow, I have to use Instacart. Gee. I mean, total first world problem. I mean, you know, like, we have got it made right now, you know. So all we have to do is stand firm in our faith and love Jesus, you know, and love our families. And let's just focus on that, you know. So when you break up into groups tonight, just be blessed and be excited, okay, with our vision and where we place that. It will do such a good help for your family. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you do have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, Lord, and you will carry that out. I thank you, Lord, for all of us and the things that we've seen in life. I think of people who are here tonight who have immigrated from countries and they've seen things that were really bad, and they've come here and they have really enjoyed this beautiful place you've given us in America. And Lord, we thank you for our country, and we do ask that as a people we would repent, that bad behavior would get stopped right in our homes, that we would want to live lives that glorify you, Lord, that we would give up ourselves for the sake of someone else, Lord, that we would exhibit love. But Lord, also we pray as we think of your mercy that you have bestowed on us, Lord, we pray that we would be merciful to our homes, our children, in giving them discipline, in letting them understand that there are proper boundaries. And Lord, we know that you're merciful to us as a country to not give us what we want sometimes. And Lord, we just want to ask you for guidance and wisdom. We ask that we would reflect love. Help us, show us how to do that, Lord. I pray for these groups now as they break into their groups of 10, that there would just be good fellowship and prayer time, and that you would bless these women, Lord. Bless them. Protect their homes. Protect the means of income. Protect the way in which they interact with people. Protect them in their neighborhoods. Protect them as they drive, Lord. Protect them wherever they go, Lord, and help them to talk to their children and their grandchildren throughout their days with them, Lord. Every day that you give them breath, help them to remind their families of you, Lord. We look to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.